Welcome to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. We discuss hot topics, news of the day, tackling hard subject matter. We may not always be on the same page or agreement, but you know what? That's what makes the show special. You're entitled to agree or disagree. Isn't that wonderful? Keep an open mind and continue to think outside of the box. As a close friend told me, The Truth is a Lie, which also is a book by that title, author Harry Pitsanis. Please join us in the chat room with your opinions or call us on the show phone, 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. The website is www.theessenceofsuccess.net. Is there a subject that you would like for us to discuss? Well, contact us on the website and leave a message right there on the main page or comment if you like about the shows. We are here to empower you and make you think. We don't have all the answers, but we will find the questions to be answered and understood. Thank you for supporting and listening to the show. My hope that each show will give you food for thought, as they say. Something to think about, you know, and discuss around the water cooler. So, you know, the show is like news, sports, entertainment, and commentary. Well, today there's so much sports news. I will get to the regular articles that I want to talk about. But there's so much sport news going on right now that I thought, you know what, let's tackle sports and get that out maybe the first segment of the show. So the first thing up, we're going to talk about the NBA free agency because there's a big thing going on about that right now. And then we're going to discuss Ezekiel Elliott and his little car accident thing that happened. We're going to talk about that. And then the last thing on sports, we're going to talk about who we see coming as contenders for the Super Bowl in 2020. Okay, so that's on the sports, and that's going to be the first half-hour segment of the show. So let's start with the NBA free agency. When the NBA Board of Governors convened earlier this month in Las Vegas, the owners' heads were spinning from a league-shaking flurry of deals that reshaped their realities in a matter of days. Now, this is the NBA. The powerful men and women, some through clenched teeth and others with open arms, asked themselves two basic but important questions. What the hell just happened, and what should we do about it? What followed was a potentially pivotal discussion that exposed fears, examined inner workings, and offered fixes aimed at trying to level an off-season playing field that has gone full tilt, y'all. Within days, the league opened an investigation centering on the timing of some of the earliest reported free agency deals on June 30th. Sources familiar with the matters told ESPN.com, the scope of the investigation is developing. It is expected to include interviews with players and possibly agents and team employees, sources said. It will also touch on other questions that were raised in the Board of Governors meeting outlining below, including methods of circumventing the salary cap to provide stars extra benefits. The league has the power to punish teams it finds to be guilty of tampering ahead of the June 30th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the first minute that teams are allowed to speak with representatives of free agents. It also might seek information on the timing of negotiations so that any revised free agency calendar might better align with what is actually happening. The investigation followed a tense owners meeting, which multiple sources described to ESPN Charlotte Hornets owner Michael Jordan, speaking as the head of the labor committee, discussed the possible need to revisit free agency rules in the next collective bargaining agreement. Mark Lasry, co-owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, spoke of his concern of the gray areas of tampering rules. It was lost on no one in the room that Milwaukee's franchise player Giannis could be the most sought-after star in free agency in 2021 if he does not sign an extension with the team before then. Other owners expressed frustration that some deals had apparently been agreed to well before the official start of free agency. See, money talks and bullshit walks, y'all. Commissioner Adam Silver encouraged an open airing of grievances in Las Vegas. Sources said when it became clear during the two-day meeting at the Wynn Hotel that frustrations were simmering below the surface. There have been more intense sessions over the years. Hashing out revenue-sharing rules earlier this decade is remembered as one of the spiciest, but this was not a routine summer agenda. Buchanan told the governors that as partners, they were entitled to expect all teams to abide by a common set of enforceable rules for free agency, and that the league office would come back with a proposal for a revised set of rules that would then be strictly enforced. He asked the group if they were comfortable with the league seizing servers and cell phones, a line that stuck with many in attendance, according to sources who recounted the scene later. Mm-hmm. Team executives and agents report their free agencies now unofficially begins at the draft combine in May. When those days of meeting with agents over draft picks often expand to their coming free agent clients, despite the rules. So if some teams are talking to players days or weeks, y'all, before June 30th, then just let everyone do that openly then, the thinking goes. Of course, some teams might then be tempted to start even earlier than the end of the finals. So that's my NBA news. Yes, that just happened just here last week, so just, you know, just a little while ago. All right, let's get to Ezekiel Elliott because that's the story this other hour right now, okay? Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas, because, you know, he thinks he's smelling his own piss now. Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys have been in the news all week, and it sounds like there won't be much changing. After a recent report, y'all, from TMZ, you hear me? And it just surfaced yesterday, okay? This just came out yesterday. In the midst of the Ezekiel Elliott holdout, TMZ reported that the Dallas Cowboys are being sued over the potential cover-up of details over a 2017 car accident involving Ezekiel Elliott just a few days before the Cowboys' NFC divisional round came against the Green Bay Packers. The Dallas Cowboys conspired with police to cover up information, y'all, from a 2017 car crash that would have sidelined Ezekiel Elliott from a crucial NFL playoff game. You see what I mean? Money talks and bullshit walks. You created this monster, the Dallas Cowboy. You can thank yourself, Mr. Jones. The suit stems from January 11, 2017 car crash, 4 days before the Cowboys played the Packers in the NFC divisional round game when Ezekiel slammed a GMC Yukon into a BMW 750 driven by Mr. Ronnie Hill on his way to the Cowboys practice facility. Hill claimed Ezekiel was obviously at fault because the running back was running late to practice, had been running late to practice and had barreled through a red light, causing more than $33,000 in damage to Hill's BMW 750. Hill claims he was physically injured in the wreck. In fact, Hill claims the Dallas Cowboys conspired with the Frisco Police Department, okay, to cover up the severity of the accident to assure that Elliott's health would not be placed in question before their playoff game. Why? According to Hill's suit, if anyone had actually reported the impact of the accident and had Elliott been examined, he would have most likely been placed in concussion protocol and out for the Dallas Cowboys' upcoming playoff game. Quote, unquote, you are so right, Mr. Hill. While this has nothing to do with the current state of Elliott's holdout, it sounds as if the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott may have to come together to work out the details on a potential court case. The lawsuit is for the incredible number of $20 million. And, Mr. Hill, I hope you get every cent, every dime. There always seems to be something going on with Ezekiel Elliott. Hello, somebody. And this is just the latest of issues that we know about since being drafted with the fourth overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft. The boy barely been there 3 years, and he done cut up every year. Okay, do you understand me? He done cut up every year. But you're creating, Jerry Jones, you guys are creating this monster because he should have fessed up and took care of that when he had the car accident. Okay, but you guys conspired with the police department. So they're just as bad, too. Frisco Police Department, fuck you, too, because you're wrong. You are wrong for going along. How much did they pay you? Did they put $1 million in the police fund or something? Give you a year of free donuts? I don't know. But anyway, the shit's funky. It ain't right. And you're not helping Ezekiel. You're making it worse because that's making him think that he can get away with shit when he shouldn't be. Okay, karma's a bitch, Ezekiel. Keep it up, young man, and you won't be on the Dallas Cowboys too much longer. All right, well, that's my story for Ezekiel. Now, the next thing coming up, the Super Bowl. Who are the contenders out of the 32 teams for the Super Bowl this year? Oh, and by the way, y'all, just to let you know, in about 3 more weeks, I'm back on the radio with the NFL guys. Yeah, CBS and all them guys. I'm still angry because they don't hear the show on the west side of the United States, only on the eastern seaboard, all over there. But anyway, because we don't have an affiliation. They even hear the show in the Midwest, but we don't have an affiliation over here, so oh well. But anyway, I'm back with the guys. You know, it's four or five guys, and it's just me. I'm the only woman on the panel. But that's okay. You know, sister girl, hold it down, okay? I hold it down. They better be glad this ain't the first week and I had to deal with Ezekiel, because I'd be sure doing some research on him. All the stuff he done, but anyway. Okay, so anyway, it'll be coming up in about 3 weeks, and it'll be on Saturday from 10 to 12, like it had been prior years, from 10 to 12 we're on. Okay, now, let's get back to what teams are up. The ultimate goal for every NFL team entering training camp every summer is to contend for a Super Bowl, right? Okay, so some are ready to do that right now. Some are just a few moves and a little more development away, and some just aren't close as they embarked on longer rebuilds. Okay, we asked 52 NFL insiders to vote. Okay, and this is from the ESPN, so where I'm getting my information from. So let's begin. So the clear-cut contenders right now, the last Super Bowl appearance, Kansas City Chiefs, the last Super Bowl appearance was 1969. 2019 Football Power Index ranked them number one. The future ranks them number four. As long as Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback, the Chiefs will have a chance to contend. A near-complete defense reveal with the addition of a new staff, plus as many as 7 new starters, can only help the team that was a key defensive stop away from the Super Bowl last year. Yeah, because I was pulling for y'all, Kansas City Chiefs. Y'all were looking good. I ain't going to lie. You were looking real good last year. So this year you're going to be even better. So congratulations to you. I hope you come back and win the Super Bowl this year. Okay, the next team up, Los Angeles Rams. Last Super Bowl appearance was 2018. The FPI rank was number 3. Future rank, they got them at 8. for 2020. In two seasons under coach Sean McVay, the Rams have clinched back-to-back division titles and an NFC championship, and they once again featured a roster that is capable of making a trip to the Super Bowl. They return each skilled player, including Cooper Kupp, who is coming off a season-ending knee injury from an offensive that scored 32.9 points per game in 2018. And defensive tackle Aaron Donald will anchor an experienced defensive group that now also includes veteran outside linebacker Clay Matthews and veteran safety Eric Weddle. Okay. Next team up, the New England Patriots. Okay, the last Super Bowl appearance was 2018. You know, I can't stand these guys, but, you know, we got to do right is right, okay? I can't stand the New England Patriots. Anyway, last Super Bowl appearance was 2018. FPI ranked them number 4. Future rank got them as 2. It's the same as it ever was for defending champions. Bill Belichick is in his 20th year as head coach. Quarterback Tom Brady enters this year 20 as well. Starting with those two already puts the Patriots in the Super Bowl discussion before factoring in all the other pieces that have to fall into place. Yeah, okay. They are a good team. Okay, right is right, I know. They are a good team, but they're just too arrogant for me. I can't stand them. Okay, next team up, the New Orleans Saints. Last Super Bowl appearance was 2009. They're ranked number 2. And, oh, ranked number 2, and they're also ranked number 2 for this year, too. Sorry, I can't see. They're not letting me see what the rest of it is. So, anyway. But, anyway, that is your Super Bowl lineup. I mean, hopeful, okay? Hopeful Super Bowl lineup for 2020. Okay, and the sports news. Okay, so now we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in about a couple of minutes. You know us. We ain't going to be gone long. So don't you go nowhere. Stay right there because we're coming back, and we're coming back to one of the stories is 5,000 children across the nation, no more free lunch. Yeah, you heard me. Okay. All right, let's take this break, and I'll see you shortly in a couple of minutes. Thank you. Welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. And the phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. All right, let's get to this story. 500,000 children, no more free lunches. These children, 500, could lose free lunch with the Trump administration proposal. More than 500,000 children across the nation could lose their automatic eligibility for free school lunches under the Trump administration's new proposal to restrict broader access to food stamps. According to a letter from the House Education and Labor Committee Chairman to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, Representative Bobby Scott, Democrat of Virginia, wrote in the letter that the committee was briefed on the policy and was given the estimate by the Agriculture Department's Food and Nutrition Service on July 22nd. However, the estimate was not included in the public Federal Register when the policy was announced last week. In the letter, Scott argued that the move to not include the potential impact of free school lunches violated procedures, pointing to an executive order that says the department must provide for both proposed and final rules, timely online access to the rulemaking docket or regulations government, including relevant scientific and technical findings. The effect on school meals eligibility represents an important technical finding that must be made public so stakeholders have the opportunity to comment on all aspects of the rule's impact. According to committee staff, Agriculture Department officials also said that an estimated 93% of the 500,000 children would be eligible for reduced price meals. The initial announcement for the proposal rule also estimated that roughly 3 million people could be cut from the Supplement Nutritional Assistance Program, otherwise called SNAP or food stamps. USDA's Food and Nutritional Service said in an email that it cannot provide additional information during the public comment period and that a change in eligibility rules for SNAP could impact the use of direct certification of SNAP participants for free school meals. However, individual families are able to submit applications for free and reduced price meals at any time, regardless of SNAP participation. Yeah, but you're saying this, but what you're saying is, okay, the people that's on the outside that maybe have poverty incomes can apply and see if their applicant is going to go through for them to get reduced meals for their kids. But if they're already on food stamps and they get cut off of food stamps, then their children will not be eligible for the lunch programs, for the free or reduced programs. That doesn't make sense to me. That's okay. That's really sorry ass. In this letter, Scott's asked that Perdue confirm the estimate that the committee staff was briefed on and asked that provide an explanation of why the impact on school meals eligibility was not included in the RIA published in the final register. He also asked for the proposed rule in the Federal Register to be edited to include the estimate and the 60-day public comment period be restarted. Well, yeah, see, you just, and that's how Trump was, like, yeah, cut it right now. You know, you need to talk to the people first. Get some representatives in there from the different states or their constituents. Let the representatives talk to the constituents and see how they feel, and then have another meeting and go. But just to say blanket, no, this is it. This is going to be happening pretty quick here. So, you know, I'm going to say this, y'all. They're cutting welfare, they're cutting food stamps, and now they're cutting the children's lunches. Okay? I hope you're listening to me and listening to the show because it is really important. Some people on welfare need their special needs. Okay? I can understand that. I ain't talking about people that just keep having kids, and don't take their ass to work. Okay? I got a niece that has four children. She works every day. all right? I know it ain't easy, and she by herself, a single mom, but she works every day. So anyway, but on the welfare, and then the people on food stamps, it's not just only people that are on welfare. It's also some people that are like on Social Security get food stamps. At least they used to. I think some people are still eligible because their Social Security is so low that they get food stamps. So they're not going to be applicable to that as well. And then the children. You don't know, Mr. Trump, what goes on behind closed door and what people's financial existence is. I mean, you could be doing good today and shoot, by Friday you find out that you got laid off. But before that, you were doing good and you could afford this and that. So, you know, you might need some help in your life. You're cutting that help basis out. But what gets me with you, Trump, while you're cutting all these programs, are you listening to your constituents? Are you listening to representatives from the different states about how they feel about this? You know, then you just haphazardly are just like, oh, yeah, well, this is what's going to happen. I tell you. You be working people's last good nerve, okay? Now, the next story up, sex slaves looking for a reality show. Y'all, why does everything have to be a reality show? Some things folks just don't want to hear about or see. Is this a judgment call by me? Well, hell yes it is, okay? And you know I shoot from the hip. Fuck y'all, okay? You know, but no. Two women, and you have to go on my website, theessenceofsuccess.net, go to blog news, scroll down, and the two women above us, a picture of them, were R. Kelly's alleged sex slave victims, Joycelyn Savage and Azrael Clary. Some of the victims of the former A-list singer, let's just go on and say it. R. Kelly, what's the problem? Robert Kelly, are shopping a reality show deal. They think they are that famous now that people are interested in seeing their lives. It isn't a getting your life back on track maybe thing. It is a, hey, we're famous, so follow us around because everyone wants to know about us. Okay, bottom line, money talks. What? All right, and bullshit walks. Enough said. And you bitches is crazy. Yeah, I said it. Come at me. I said that you're crazy. After what you went through with R. Kelly, and now you want to put it all on the TV just like, hey, yeah, this is what happened, blah, 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 and this is how we're living. Okay, all right. You might regret that one day, young ladies. Okay, next thing up, we're going to talk about Trump attacked Sharpton. Yeah, he did, y'all. Here we go again. Earlier today, Donald Trump attacked Reverend Al Sharpton, calling him a con man and someone who hates whites and cops. Oh, Lord. This went down just hours before Sharpton held a news conference in Baltimore to decry Trump's derogatory weekend tweets directed at the city and an African-American congressman. Sharpton, a former Democratic presidential candidate who's also an MSNBC talk show host, appeared in Baltimore alongside Michael Steele, who formerly chaired the Republican National Committee and served as Maryland's lieutenant governor. At the event held at Baltimore Church, Sharpton said Trump had attacked the city and Representative Elijah Cummings, Democrat of Maryland, in the most bigoted and racist way. He has a particular venom for blacks and people of color, Sharpton said of Trump. Steele, the first African-American elected statewide in Maryland, criticized Trump for reprehensible comments and invited him to come to Baltimore. But the tweet down brother, Steele said, put the tweet down, brother, and show up. In earlier tweets, Trump said he had known Sharpton for 25 years and said the two always got along well and attended boxing matches together. He would ask me for favors often, Trump said. Al is a con man, a troublemaker, always looking for a score, just doing his thing. Must have intimidated Comcast, NBC, hates whites and cops. Sharpton's news conference came 2 days after Trump criticized Baltimore as a rodent-infested mess, quote-unquote, where no human human beings would want to live, quote, unquote, and attacked Representative Elijah Cummings, Democrat of Maryland, who represents part of the city. Cummings chairs the House Oversight Committee, which has been holding an array of hearings critical of Trump's administration practices. Sharpton responded on Monday morning via Twitter by sharing a photograph of Trump attending a 2006 conference hosted by Sharpton's organization, the National Action Network. The photo also includes singer James Brown and civil rights leader Jesse Jackson. Trump at the NAN convention 2006 telling James Brown and Jesse Jackson why he respects my work. Different tune now, Sharpton wrote. Trump soon responded on Twitter saying that Sharpton would always ask me to go to his events as a personal favor, quote unquote. Seldom but sometimes would I go. It was fine, Trump said, quote unquote. Sharpton later continued the back and forth on Twitter, writing, Trump says I'm a troublemaker and a con man. I do not make trouble for bigots. If he really thought I was a con man, he would want me in his cabinet. Ouch! Can I hear that again? Ouch, ouch. Damn, Trump, you got nothing better to do, obviously, than stir up a lot of shit. If you want more of this story, click over to the Washington Post via MSN News, okay? And you can read more about it. Okay, we're going to take another short little break here and be right on back. So don't you go nowhere. I got to go drink some water, okay? Be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. Okay. All right. I hope you are having a good day today. I know I am. It's, oh man, it's beautiful out up here today. All right, next story up coming at you, Monique and Whoopi Goldberg. Say what? The relationship, y'all, went from bad to worse. You know, Monique, go on YouTube. Monique is on there about 6 or 7 times, okay? Well, 5 for sure, I know. So talking about, well, now she's talking about Whoopi, but who else was she talking about? Steve Harvey? Oprah did it wrong, though. Now, I'll agree with Monique about Oprah. Oprah blindsided her when she had her on the show, and she did it for ratings. So, Oprah, you wrong on that one. I have to agree with Monique. She deserves an apology. But anyway, okay, let's get to the story at hand. Whoopi Goldberg and Monique. The relationship between Monique and Whoopi Goldberg, which has been touch and go for a while, looks like it's about to be flushed down the toilet. Tensions rose between both comedians after things heated up on the set of The View. During a discussion of Monique's failed campaign to boycott Netflix because Netflix reportedly lowballed her during negotiations for a comedy special, making her an offer of $500,000, while her counterpart, Amy Schuler, David Chappelle, and Chris Rock were offered $13 million, $20 million, and $20 million respectively. Now, Monique, the only thing I got to back up for a minute, and I know you were going around talking about Netflix. Chris Rock is world renowned. There's nowhere he can go. You can go places people won't know you. Dave Chappelle was on TV as well as Chris, but Dave Chappelle had a show that was making millions, okay? Millions. Amy Schumer, she just come up. So her $13 million, whatever, she just come up. But Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, hell yeah, they worth $20 million. Are you worth $20 million? I don't know about that, but they could at least give you $10 million. I'll go for that. Netflix could at least offer you $10 million for a one night comedy stand. Well, in a recent interview with Comedy Hype, Monique touched on Whoopi's salary as a panelist on the show, said to be $5 to $6 million per year. Per cheat sheet, claiming the figure hurt my feelings, according to the comedian, Monique. The conversation took place at the show backstage. When I get Whoopi Goldberg on the flip saying, fuck them little ones coming behind you, you better give a damn about you, quote unquote. That crushed me that day in her dressing room because Whoopi Goldberg told me the salary she makes from The View, and that hurts my feelings. You've been there for 10 years, and you accept them paying you that, and you're telling me don't worry about the little ones coming up? Damn, if I ain't got to be worried about you too, because you accept that salary, it makes it hard for me. And how hard do you think it's going to make for the ones who ain't here yet because you accept that salary? Moan told the comedian Hype, yeah. So Whoopi, you kind of wrong for that because other people paid the price for you. Moms, Maybelline, I can't think of the actress, but a lot of people paid the price before you came along. So, yeah, that's what you do. You reach back. That's how you give back to the community, to the up-and-coming new comedians. You help them out. Give them a word of knowledge or some skills or maybe network some people that might could help them out to, you know, get 15 minutes on stage. You're really supposed to do that, Whoopi. I mean, come on. That's like anybody in any work. I don't care whether it's from the White House to somebody as a garbage man or whatever, but you reach back and help other people because other people are coming behind you with better comedy, newer comedy, a new way, a new style. That's okay. Each generation, somebody is a little bit better than you. That's life. So you don't mind reaching back. It's a problem for you. It's a challenge. Whereas Monique, she feels like you guys that are before her and the ones that are with her and even the ones coming behind her, we need to help one another as a family, as a community. So I understand that, Monique. I hear what you're saying. And to be honest, Monique, you're probably owed several apologies, no doubt. I was just thinking of Lee Daniels, but you're probably owed several apologies. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see as time goes on. Okay, and by the way, happy birthday, Leos. How y'all doing? I don't know what's coming up for August yet. I haven't did the horoscopes yet. I'll do them this weekend, Leo, and everybody else. So look for me on YouTube. Look for Linus on YouTube. I'll do the horoscopes this weekend. See what's coming up. I don't know what kind I'm going to do, though. And thank God, Mercury retrograde ends Friday. Okay, we're done. It's a done deal. Okay, the next story up is Trump a racist? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What? Is there a second thought? Is there a doubt? Okay. Trump tells freshman congressmen to go back to where they came from. Three of these women were born in the United States of America. Only one is out of the country. So I guess you better go back to your state, huh? Three of you better go back to your state and clean your state up, which is the nation, part of the nation that President Trump governs. President Trump said on Sunday that a group of four minority congresswomen feuding with Speaker Nancy Pelosi should go back to the countries they came from rather than loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States how to run the government. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're supposed to do. Are you, listen to what you just said. Loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States how to run the government. Isn't our thing say for the people, by the people? Maybe you just took the short bus to school, Trump. Okay, wrapped inside that insult, which was widely established as a racist trope, was a factual, inaccurate claim. Only one of the lawmakers was born outside the country. Even though Mr. Trump has repeatedly refused to back down from stoking racial divisions, his willingness to deploy a lowest rung slur, one commonly and crudely used to single out the perceived foreignness of a non-white, non-Christian people, was largely regarded as beyond the pale. So interesting to see progressive Democrat congressmen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt, and inept anywhere in the world. Mr. Trump wrote on Twitter, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Number one, let me correct you because you're a liar. We are not the greatest nation on the earth, and we're not the most powerful nation on the earth, okay? We just have the biggest egos and greed on the earth coming out of here. Other than the Rothschilds, the United States of America is greed and egos, okay? A spotlight on the people reshaping our politics, a conversation with voters across the country, and a guiding hand through the endless news cycle telling you what you really need to know. Mr. Trump added, why don't they go back and help fix the total broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it's done. Delivered on the day he had promised widespread immigration raids, Mr. Trump's comments signal a new low in how far he will go to affect public discourse surrounding the issue. And if his string of tweets was meant to further widen Democrats' division in an intrapa-party fight, the strategy appeared quickly to backfire. House Democrats, including Ms. Pelosi, rallied around the women, declaring in blunt terms that Mr. Trump's words echo other xenophobic comments he has made about non-white immigrants. When it comes to race, Mr. Trump plays with fire like no other president in this century. As the president's remarks reverberate around Twitter, a chorus of Americans took to social media to say that they had heard some versions of Mr. Trump's words throughout their lives, beginning with childhood taunts on the playground. Senator Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey and a presidential candidate, joined scores of people who said it was jarring to hear the phrase from the president. We've heard this our whole lives, Mr. Booker said. Now we hear it from the Oval Office. Yeah, baby. Let me tell you, that narcissistic, egotistical, Trump, ain't nobody like you. You know what? That's the truth. It really ain't. It really is not anybody like you. And thank God, I hope that none of your children act in the way that you do. I really do. Okay, this is just from last week. I just wanted to update weather predictions for the second half of the year for 2019. In August, August 9th, I saw earthquakes in Alaska or California and Mexico border. Possibly Washington and Oregon states could feel residuals from earthquakes. 9.0 earthquake, major destruction and lives lost. Flooding in Gulf Coast will be very bad. FEMA will be brought in for help. Make sure that they are FEMA personnel. There have been rogue groups operating as such without federal or state authority. So you guys watch that. Tremendously hot in the Midwest. Deaths could occur. I see this happening in a two-month time period. So August and September, yeah. Not normal temperatures in autumn this year. Is still very hot, which is definitely abnormal for the United States. Northwest has never experienced rain like this in the fall. A lot of flooding. Hope you live near a hill or higher elevation. Europe will break records for heat and flooding until the fall of the year. For some reason, there are a lot of handicapped children being born statistically higher than in the median years. I don't know why that is. I would, for a pregnant woman, if I were you, I would check the vitamins I'm taking and also, of course, the shots that they're giving kids. I still say the shots that they're giving kids is why these children are autistic. I do. I think it's from the drug. If I'm wrong, God forgive me. I'm sorry. But I do believe that it's the shots that are causing kids to be autistic. And the diabetes, this juvenile diabetes is getting out of hand. Look what you're producing out there for the kids. I mean, if you're not vegan, then you better be healthy in your eating and not eating a lot of fried food, but eating more healthy food and fruits and vegetables. Why? Because as you're growing up, there is no excuse for a child to be 12 years old and weighing 100 and some pounds, like 130, 140 pounds. Come on, y'all. You know that shit ain't right. Stop feeding your children that junk-ass food. Buy more fruits. Get them hooked on apples and oranges and grapes or cherries, whatever, but get away from all the potato chips or french fries and all. That's not good for your kid. And, hell, it's not even good for you as an adult. That's how you get diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease and all that from bad eating and healthy. Walk. The kids don't hardly have gym anymore. Let the kids go outside and play. Get off the cell phones and the iPads. You know, get outside and get some fresh air. Heck, I went outside today and stayed out there for about two or three hours just reading a book outside. It felt good. Even the sun felt good on me. Okay, well, we're coming to the close of the hour, so I've got one little tidbit to share with y'all. One man's ex is another man's future. When one man didn't appreciate another man is praying for. Let me repeat that. One man's ex is another man's future. What one man didn't appreciate, another man is praying for. All right. And that is our show for tonight in the studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success. What? Radio Network. Better recognize. I hope you enjoyed yourself tonight. I enjoyed bringing the news articles to you, and I hope you had a good time. If no one's told you they love you today, well, I do. Now go out and enjoy your weekend and be safe out there. By the way, don't forget, that's right, today's Wednesday. Enjoy the rest of your week. Don't forget Friday. We come in Friday traffic jams at 6 o'clock, okay, Friday traffic jams at 6 o'clock. I posted on all the social sites. For music, we jam for an hour, try to, you know, go into the weekend with a better frame of mind and a smile on our face and maybe a little snap in our hips. So, all right. I'll see y'all on Friday. Have a good one. Be blessed.